Because it's not really accordance with the understanding of the Buddha Dharma or the teaching. They go to the extent and tell you, hey, you want to do this type of dana parami, hey, you must remember, no, if you offer to a non-sila person who don't keep the five precepts, you need to make, don't know, 100 or 1,000 offering, only equivalent to one who keep the five precepts, no. Then if you offer to one, I forgot already, they mentioned, don't know, 100 or 1,000 five preceptor, is only equivalent to one who keep the eight precept. Then he said, if you offer to one 10 preceptor, is better than, don't know, 100 or 1,000 of this eight preceptor. Then he said, you offer to monk. So this type of teaching has been going around. So what does it brings about? It brings about the delusion and the greed to do merits, not based on need, causes and condition and understanding. Because the true teaching is, when you really make offering with the joy, with the understanding, and spontaneously, based on understanding, that merit is so much higher than those tinted merits. Tinted by what? By trying to analyze and calculate. This is more meritorious. So they don't want to offer to ordinary human being. They want to offer to virtuous being, cultivator, or those things. Then some want to offer personally. If they don't offer personally, they don't feel good. So a lot of this type of misunderstanding and misconception come about. My nature's understanding is very simple. If there is somebody on the street that has the condition, but don't be a good-hearted fool. This one also you have to be careful. If there is a real need for help and all that, there and then spontaneously you have the means and you can respond, you should respond. Well, you never know. All this can come back to you. You reap what you sow. When you do this, help out, then in future you will have this permit. People will help you. There will be cultivator or people with that type of condition, they will surface and manifest to help you. So you just do, act. So sometimes when you give to a beggar, or not necessarily a beggar, to a poor person, you may not know this person in the future who he is, or his nature, his parami. And a lot of great beings, cultivator, they come in the form of beggar. Very simple people, especially Kuan Yin, they manifest in very simple way, even Wen Su and all. So you never know. So when there is condition for you to do, that's why the Buddha said, avoid all evil, do good wherever there is condition. But don't try to do good, understand? That one is a greed. When there is no condition, also you want to help, you want to do, that one creates repercussion. No. When it does not hurt you or harm you, like the Buddha said, if the advice given, like the Kalamas, you inquire. If I follow the instruction and advice, does it harm me and does it harm others? If it does not harm you and harm others, wow, do. You have the means, do. But there must be condition. If there is condition, means you do, otherwise don't. Means, if they want to be helped, then it's different. Then you can help, you can manifest. But if they don't want to be helped, don't try to keep on as well. That's why people try to convert other religion. I say, forget about it. Then sometimes their own like siblings or their own parents or their own loved one or related one, they say, hey, they don't know the Dhamma, no, I must help them, no, because they are my parents, they are, forget about it. If there is no condition, just let things be. But when there is condition, things will happen. Then sometimes, even the first time, you just let it be. The condition keep on coming back, then you know, this one is meant to be. This person has affinity. There is condition for you to manifest and help. either his karmic in the past, he helped people before. Now you have this understanding, you can help it. You will manifest that. That's why people whom I don't know also I help. So sometimes it's my own brothers and sisters I can't help unless there is condition. I will not share or not speak. There's no point. Understand? So this will cover the whole spectrum and understanding of Dana Parami, that my nature has developed the understanding, and I've been following all this understanding and principle to develop them. And the perfection of Dana Parami can reach many, many levels, much higher when you have developed the cultivation. That's why my emphasis is still cultivate. When you have the understanding and the wisdom, when you have straightened your view, then you will have real virtue, real understanding of what Dana Parami is. Then you will do with your understanding. That's how it can be done, as a pure action. Then one more example is during the time of Bodhidharma, remember? There was an emperor in China who invited him over. He was full of joy after he built so many temples, supported the monks, the translation of the scripture and all this. Then he was so happy to meet up with Bodhidharma. Then one day he asked Bodhidharma, "What do you think is my merit?" He said, "I have built so many temples, supported the monk in such a great way, developed so much translation parami to assist in the translation of the teaching." You know, the surprise answer for Bodhidharma was, he said, he told the emperor, "None. Zero." The emperor cannot get angry, cannot show his unhappiness because he respected Bodhidharma. But he cannot understand why Bodhidharma says zero. Not until later he met a very good monk who explained to him, he said, "What Bodhidharma told you is the truth." Because to Bodhidharma, he's an enlightened being. So when you talk to him about merits, it's not the tinted merit, because the emperor wants to know how much merit he has. Means when you do all this generosity to help in the propagation of the Dhamma and give all the materialistic support for the Sangha and all those things, you are doing out of what? The subtle intent for the merits, understand? Means what? Your action is based on that merits. Means you act based on the intent to receive that merit, even the subtle merit, the subtle intention. There is a form of greed, understand? Subtle greed is still greed. So it's tinted merit, it's no more pure merit. That's why to Bodhidharma, if you want to talk about merit, he's an enlightened being, it has to be pure merit, otherwise zero. That's why these are tinted merit. So the fifth patriarch also told the monks, you remember? He asked them to write down the stanza so that he can pass over the sixth patriarchship to whoever who can write Buddhist understanding or the four stanza to show that he has the understanding then worthy of the transmission of the patriarchship. He will transfer to that person. So he told them, don't waste any more time on tinted merit. He used this word. Don't just go and cultivate tinted merit. Want to do good at all. He said, hurry up. Be heedful. Strive on with heedfulness to develop wisdom, to liberate your mind, to free your mind. Tinted merit will not help you when you're about to die or when you die. The pure merits are more important. And without wisdom, without enlightenment, you cannot have pure merits, true merit. So that was the reason why I answered to Chui and told him, what is more important is the cultivation to develop the wisdom. Without wisdom, there is no real merit, no real virtue. You cannot have pure merits. You cannot do with understanding. So a lot of people confused by wanting to do merits. But without wisdom, your merit is tinted, most of the time limited. Not really that type of value or understanding. I give you another example is you may go and do all this materialistic gift, the gift of light or whatever. But if you cannot have a moment of pure thought, you know what is a moment of pure thought or not? Without the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, means without the egoic mind. That pure mind, that single pure thought is so meritorious. That's why in the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, it's mentioned a moment of pure thought, yeah, is far more superior than all the offering of the seven treasures in the what they call universe. When you offer them, it doesn't match a person who has the wisdom to teach the Diamond Sutta. You remember? Whoever who read this sutta can understand and share this with the world, the merits, that's why the giver of truth is the highest, that this particular cultivator receives is much more than the materialistic gift. The seven treasure of the universe, even you offer to all the Buddha of the three period of time, the Bodhisattva, the enlightened being, the merits that they accumulate cannot match the merits that the enlightened being who have understood the Diamond Sutta and teach them to the world. Just imagine the one cultivator who can arise a pure thought is the enlightened being without evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, and have clarity and understanding of the Dhamma. And when you really teach, that's why after your cultivation reaches certain stages, you no longer have that desire or craving to do merits. Like in the early day, I used to share with you a lot of Kamita. You tell me which monk we have. I can't, unless there is condition. I will not do. But I cannot chase after all this anymore. Well, all this is based on understanding. When you have reached that level of cultivation where most of the time your nature is so pure, you no longer have those mundane mind that is chasing, deluded, and doing all those things. Then what is there for all this type of materialistic gift and even the so-called gift of life, gift of whatever? So when you understand, it's no longer that desire or craving to do good, no more. It's the understanding. When there is condition, it will still manifest. I can still do, I will do. But if there is no condition, it's just let things be. There's no more meaning. That's why when you reach that level of understanding and cultivation, you do things differently. Okay?